We want to cover actually three areas of your life: your medical profession, your love of cars, maybe that helps you get your mind off your health a little bit, and what led to ownership of Kane's Ballroom, and discuss the music business. So when did you've talked about already maybe an influence through your mother and all and your grades. So what led you to make that decision that you were going to follow the medical field?
In my eighth grade, I was great in math. I love math. One of the accelerated programs at Wade Phillips was this new math program, for only one in Tulsa Public Schools. So I love math. It just was just so simple. But in eighth grade, I had a first year redhead science teacher. And all of us growing up had crushes on our teachers, one or more. And so I had a crush on this beautiful Mrs. Moore at Edison in the eighth grade. And so that's when we dissected frogs and dissected worms. And so again, it was kind of a puzzle, and I liked that. So that's when I kind of started looking more at science. Then there was biology, and then there's anatomy at TU. But probably between, you know, about my senior year in high school, I figured I'm going to go to medical school.
So then I believe in 72 you completed the medical school prerequisite.
Yes.
What was prerequisite? What did you have to accomplish there?
Great. Not very many people know, but you only need 90 hours to get in medical school. So truly, I didn't graduate from TU in 1972. I had like 103 or 106 hours. But OU accepted me. I had such a strong letter written for me by Dr. Levengood, the head of the life science department at TU, that when I took my interview in Oklahoma City, I had a substitute interviewer who happened to be the dean. And the first hour, 3 hours of interview, first hour, he read this letter from Dr. Levengood. He goes, "You're going to get in. Just go the next 2 hours." So just one letter from a wonderful professor did that for me. Medical school, first 2 years are in the classroom. Last 2 years are on rotations where you're less than an intern, but you start doing intern-like things. But became friends with all the neurosurgeons and the head of the neurosurgery department, continued to make good grades on my test scores and on my classroom work. And then in 1976, when I graduated from medical school, I got accepted to the neurosurgery program at OU. It was an unusual program because it wasn't as academic as Columbia or Rush in Chicago. We had in-town neurosurgeons, kind of our professors, instead of a great big faculty on campus. So I had professors at St. Anthony's and Mercy, Baptist, and we'd make rotation where we'd go operate with all these doctors all over town. And I got to do a lot of surgery in my training. Nowadays, you don't do a lot of surgery in training until you become chief resident. But I was doing brain surgery and back surgery when I was a second-year resident. So that gave you a lot of confidence. And your professor would just stand there and, you wouldn't do it. You do this. So I have to thank them over and over and over. All the guys that came out of the program are all good surgeons. Don't have as much contact with the program now as I did, but in the 70s and early 80s, it was a great, great program. Always thought when I finished the residency that I would want to come back to Tulsa and practice. That didn't work out because there were some changes in Medicare reimbursement, and none of the groups here in town wanted to hire anybody else because they're afraid their reimbursement was going to fall off a whole lot based on DRGs, which is a way of monetizing and assigning a unit value to every surgery you do. This surgery is a 20-unit surgery. This one's a 30-unit surgery. And per unit, you get paid so much. So nobody wanted to take a partner. So I went to Muskogee for 8 years, 3 years by myself. That also made me a great, careful surgeon. Because Muskogee, if there's a problem with a patient in Muskogee, everybody in Muskogee knew about it about 45 minutes later. Everybody would know. So I was very cautious, but did a good job. A Muskogee boy came back and joined me the fourth year, and we were together for 8 years, a total of there 8 years. But just realized Tulsa was better for my boys, better for my family. My family was here. Her family moved to Tulsa, so it was better.
You could have chosen many areas. I've asked you broadly why you got in the medical field, but why neurosurgery?
That's great. Okay, you get a taste of everything in your internship. Plastic surgery would have been something I would like, but my first year of medical school, I was hired by a neurosurgeon, Charles Bondurant, to help him with rounds and surgery in the morning, and in the afternoon, take care of his house and his kids. His wife had multiple sclerosis and couldn't hardly walk. So I would take the kids to the country club to swim. I would mow the yard. I'd paint. I would just be a gopher, jack of all trades for him, that he couldn't do when he was working. But I went to the office with him. I went to surgery with him, and so I saw early on the preciseness, the beauty of the nervous system, spinal cord, the nerves, the brain, the delicacy, the accuracy, not a lot of infections, didn't like pus, didn't like urology. Didn't want to be a gynecologist. And I just knew that cardiovascular surgery and neurosurgery were kind of the top of the food chain. I just kept going. I thought this would be a wonderful profession. Honorable. I had great hands, no tremor, good eyes. And so that helped.
You're in solo practice. And what did you focus on?
In Muskogee, I had to do everything down there. Aneurysms, hematomas on the brain, ruptured discs, spinal stenosis. And I did that through 2001. But I realized that I wasn't doing very many brain surgeries. It wasn't because I was cut out of that. It was just luck of the draw. I just didn't see as many of them. So that's when in 2001, when I left a big group because I just want to do spine, that's what I've done now for 21 years, which made my lifestyle nighttime ER call much better. Spine doesn't, you know, the broken backs and broken necks, but far less than the head injuries that you take care of as a general practicing neurosurgeon.
Let me just bring you way back to the first time you even cut on a person. And you knew the next day you were going to do that. And you're a student, and you're going to have a surgeon follow you. I mean, can you even remember that, how nervous you must have been?
Oh, God, I forget so many things. I was most nervous as an intern, your last day of your internship. On general surgery, they let me do a gallbladder. Well, that's when the gallbladder incisions were 10 inches and not laparoscopic like we do now. And I was scared because I just didn't like general surgery, but I had to do it. And, you know, I was scared then, but I'd done so little bit of neurosurgery for so long with my mentor, Dr. Bondurant, and then it just went right into it. I wasn't nervous. I knew I could do it. MRI scans made things a whole lot easier. I mean, you knew the exact anatomy compared with the neurosurgeons in the 50s and 60s. Lots of things were exploratory. You got to go, something's wrong in there. We're going to go look for it, but you don't know what the hell you're going to find. But MRI scans make you 98-99% sure where, what side, in front of the spinal cord, behind the spinal cord, all those things changed, life-changing for all neurosurgeons.
Yeah.